VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a must-listen-to program today. The topic and information we have is information you need to know so that you can be informed and you can share the information with others. There is a massive campaign across these United States to have individuals receive the COVID shot. I mean, there is no end to the lengths that government is going to entice people to obtain the jab in exchange for a moment of pleasure. We've got professional sports teams that have offered free tickets to those who take the jab. Some establishments are offering free alcoholic beverages. There are those offering free donuts, and the list goes on. Some states, you're entered into a $1 million lottery or a free college education if vaccinated. And now, this week in Washington State, and folks, I came in this morning, I was shocked to see this, and it doesn't take a whole lot to shock anymore, but this shocked me. In Washington State, the Liquor and Cannabis Board will provide a marijuana joint to each adult that receives the COVID-19 jab in an effort to increase statewide vaccinations. It's called a Joint for Jabs promotion. But today we're going to be taking a look at the this issue. We're also going to look at the emails released by Dr. Anthony Fauci. We have one Stanford epidemiologist is saying that Fauci's credibility is entirely shot. Not sure if that pun was intended or not. And why has the CDC all of a sudden stopped updating the number of deaths reported of individuals who had received the COVID-19 shot? We'll be talking about early treatments as well today. You'll want to stay tuned for critical information as we welcome back Twyla Braze, president and co-founder of Citizens Council for Health Freedom. Twyla is a registered nurse, a certified public health nurse, author of Big Brother in the Exam Room, The Dangerous Truth About Electronic Health Records. She's a speaker on the daily Health Freedom Minute, heard on stations across the nation. Twyla, thank you for joining us today.
I'm so glad to be here. Thank you, Jim.
We've got a lot we're going to unpack, but let's begin with the Fauci emails. What have we learned? How did these emails surface?
Well, they surfaced because BuzzFeed did a Freedom of Information Act request and got them, let's see what day it is today, I guess it's about a week ago now, that they were received and put up online for everybody to take a look at. There is a little bit more than 3,200 pages of them with about 900 or so emails in there. And if you read the emails, you'll know that we don't have the entire treasure trove of emails because Fauci says at various times in his emails that he's receiving 1,000 emails a day, or one point he says he received 2,000 emails a day. And so we don't have the half of his emails. And the emails that we have, many of them are very heavily redacted. So you can see some of the words, but you can't see other of the words. But even some of the words that we can see, you know, have proven to be very interesting on topics that the public is highly aware of. For instance, gain-of-function research or immunity or masks, for instance. So I think I'll just mention the one about masks because still a hot topic, even though a bunch of states have released the mandate for masks. There's a lot of people still masking. And so his email is in response to an email that he received from former Secretary of Health and Human Services, Sylvia Burwell. And in essence, I'm not reading his email at this moment, but in essence what he says, she's going to go take a trip on a plane. And so she's asking whether or not she should wear a mask. And this was, I believe, in February of 2020. And he essentially said, you know, masks are for people who are infected so that they don't infect others. They're not for uninfected people. And so there's no reason really to wear a mask, he told her. And he said that the kind of mask that you get in a drugstore, he said those are basically ineffective because the virus can just, you know, go through them. And so when you look at how Fauci has flip-flopped on the mask, so you see what he actually said to a colleague, so this was, you know, a former bureaucrat,
yes.
And then he used to say that we didn't need masks, but then he said that we did, and then he said that we needed two, and then at one point he even said goggles might be good. You know, that's the kind of thing. Here he's not saying it in a place that he ever thought would be public, his emails.
Twyla, the epidemiologist and professor at Stanford, Jay Bhattacharya, he said this, and I quote, "In the early days of the epidemic, he," referring to Fauci, "was quite a sensible person. He understood immunity. He understood the necessity of not panicking the population. He said something happened in late February where he just flipped on a dime. It wasn't the science changing. Something else happened where he just changed." Interesting observation he made.
That is an interesting observation, and it makes me think about the particular email that he got from a scientist from Scripps Institute, and that email came to him on January 31st, and this Christian Anderson, this researcher, this scientist, basically said that in looking at the virus itself, there's a part that potentially looks engineered, and that didn't fit the evolutionary progress or process that they expected of the virus. And so the very next day, February 1st, there are some emails where it's very clear that the department is scrambling. You know, Fauci says something like, have your phone on. We're taking the call at 7:45 a.m. You know, be prepared. We need to discuss this. But you can't see exactly what they're going to discuss, but
wow,
there's a reference to gain of function. And so one wonders if the whole thing about the possibility of money from the United States to China through this Eco-Health Alliance for China to do gain of function research, which is to make a virus more virulent, more deadly, into, for instance, a bioweapon. If something happened with that where they just really wanted to change the whole trajectory of the conversation away from any possibility that the United States could have been part of developing COVID-19.
Twyla, I find it interesting, and we're going to move on from those emails even here to origination, that the former CDC director, Robert Redfield, is claiming he had death threats coming from, you know, against him from fellow scientists for his suggesting that COVID originated in a Chinese lab. Now, all of a sudden, there is this big concern. Where did this originate from? It's like things have been swept under the carpet, but it's been resurfacing. But he even received death threats for even suggesting it came from a Chinese lab.
Right. And so you have to wonder, you know, are those Chinese scientists, are those scientists who get money from China to do this research? You know, who are these people that have threatened him? But the fact of the matter is, we all know it came from Wuhan. You know, it's all looked very suspect from the very beginning. The investigator that went over there through World Health Organization is the guy who gets all the money from Fauci at EcoHealth to do the research, to do research. Now, he's saying that there's only 600,000 of it that was sent from EcoHealth to China, but nonetheless, so the guy who gets all the money goes over there with the World Health Organization supposedly to do an investigation on whether the virus came out of that institute, and it's like, oh, yeah, no, it didn't.
Yeah.
Like, it just wraps up so quickly and so tidily, and so you know that it doesn't smell right.
It's also, no, it doesn't smell right, and an article coming out now about a Chinese defector who says that China is producing COVID variants in an effort to cover up what it came from the Wuhan lab. It's reported that the Defense Intelligence Agency actually hid the existence of this Chinese defector from both the FBI and the CIA because it felt those agencies could not be trusted. But this defector is saying they're making variants of this to make it look like it does not come from Wuhan.
Well, you know, I don't have any idea what they are doing, but of course, you know, given what we know about China, if that were the case, would we be surprised? You know, one of the things that I learned from reading Imprimis, maybe back in May of 2020, June of 2020, I can't remember, but the speaker was talking about China and the fact that, you know, it was January 23rd, 2020, when Wuhan was shut down, put into quarantine, lockdown, right? But he mentioned that what the government did not do is they did not shut down the flights out of Wuhan to the rest of the world.
Hmm.
Now, I think that, you know, if that is that, if that's true, and he seems to be an expert in Chinese, you know, affairs, right? Mm-hmm. Then what does that say?
Yeah. Do you believe in the authenticity of the president really wanting to find the origin of this virus?
You know, I'm not exactly sure what we're getting out of our president or who it's coming from. You know, I don't know. Sometimes, you know, he speaks very, very clearly and very, very lucidly, and I think, you know, I think this is really coming from you, and sometimes I'm not totally sure, and so I don't know how to answer that.
Let's talk about the what's being called the vaccine, the shot that's going on. I see LifeSiteNews.com reporting that the creator of the CDC COVID app, the COVID vaccine app, died 2 months after taking the jab. This is Joel Robert Kallman. His company is mourning his passing from COVID-19. They're saying it's a breakthrough case. Are you able to comment on these breakthrough cases? What is happening? What do we know about numbers and statistics and things that are going on from those receiving the shot?
Yes. Yeah, so the breakthrough cases are very interesting. And I think we should start with the idea of it being called a vaccine in the first place. And so as compared to tetanus, where I looked up the facts of the matter about tetanus just last night, which is, according to the CDC, virtually, this is their words, virtually 100% keeps you from ever getting tetanus. So you don't really hear about breakthrough cases with tetanus, right?
Right.
And so when you look at the CDC and how they define a vaccine, they say that it gives you immunity. And then they define immunity. And immunity is defined as it prevents you from getting the disease. But that is not how COVID-19 vaccines are discussed. What they say is that even if you get the disease, that your symptoms will be reduced. And so this is not a vaccine in the typical way of thinking of a vaccine. This is about, you know, symptom reduction. It's not about actually keeping you from getting infected. And so now this idea that we have, quote, breakthrough cases, right? And so they're not really breakthrough cases. They are people who are getting COVID-19 whose symptoms were not sufficiently reduced. And the reason that I say that is because the CDC announced maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago or so that they are only going to track the breakthrough cases that end up in hospitalization and death. So we are not going to know about the breakthrough cases that aren't leading to that. So if we were to know the entirety of the breakthrough cases, we would actually perhaps find out that COVID-19 is not even as effective as one would call it effective. So in essence, they have decided that, you know, when they say it's 94% effective, one of the vaccines they say is 94% effective, and that's in reducing symptoms. So maybe they are considering the hospitalization and the deaths post-vaccination to be the 6%. Where it's not effective. You know, I don't know exactly what they're thinking of, but this whole idea of breakthrough cases, because it's not really a vaccine.
Yeah. Right? We're going to pick up more with this after the break, as well as looking at the adverse effects. Why is the CDC all of a sudden stopping updating their pages on the adverse effects reported? Back with more information in 1 minute. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, popular creation speaker and author with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, now some people say that they don't believe in God because they can't see him. Is this a legitimate argument?
No, I don't think it is, Chris. Now, it does take faith to believe in God, but we see all sorts of evidence of him. We see the results of what he has done. We see many truths in the Bible verified by science and history, and thus have a good reason to have faith in the rest. Chris, it amuses me to see so many people believing in aliens. We've never seen an alien. We've searched the heavens with fine detail and can find no clue that anything is out there. But they'll believe in aliens before they believe in God. Life is so complex that it must have been created. And that's the Back to Genesis truth.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Our topic today is the COVID shot, Fauci emails, and the information block. Twyla Bray is our guest today, president and co-founder of Citizens Council for Health Freedom. Just before we continue our conversation on this topic, Twyla, just give us a word about the Citizens Council for Health Freedom.
So Citizens Council for Health Freedom is a patient-centered, privacy-focused organization. We work at a national basis, and the whole point of our work is to really put the patient and doctor back together in a confidential, affordable relationship where there is not third-party interference so that the doctor and the patient can work together for whatever is best for the patient.
Okay.
And you can find us at cchfreedom.org, cchfreedom.org.
And every Wednesday you send out an email with just filled with information on current topics on, the very things we're talking about here today. And those who do the free online subscription, they'll get that email every Wednesday.
That's correct. And today it just went out, and one of the things that we have on there that I think people will really like is a whole list of the places that they can go for early treatment if they get COVID-19, and early treatment is really important.
Great. We'll be getting into that early treatment aspect here. We'll continue on here with the CDC. Let's talk about this, and part of this topic for our program today is information block. Twyla, I've been regularly checking the CDC's website. They were at least updating their page on a weekly basis of the adverse effects reported from the COVID shot, recording number of deaths, even though they said there's no known connection between the deaths and the shot, but they're tracking them. You know, they did their analysis. But all of a sudden, the end of May, this stopped. What do we know is happening? I'm confident that you've observed this very same thing.
I have indeed. May 27th is the last time that they put out their selected adverse events. And at that point, they talked about there being deaths a little over 4,800. And I have been checking, and that was as of May 24th. And so, we're a little bit past
yes.
May 24th here. And I have found nothing, nothing from them to update that. However, I have found from the National Vaccine Information Center, they have created a different technology that pulls the very same raw data from the Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System. And so from their site on May 28th, there were 5,165 deaths reported related to the vaccination, and there were more than 227,000 injuries.
227,000 injuries?
Adverse events.
Adverse events.
We'll just not say injuries. We'll say adverse events because some of those adverse events, some people wouldn't classify as injuries.
Okay, so just outline some of those. What are some of those 227,000 adverse events?
Oh, well, they can be, nearly life-threatening, so they can go all the way to there, throwing up or, difficulty with headache, unable to go to work because of they feel so bad, fatigue that is just disabling, all sorts of possibilities of what could happen that are short of death. They can be very mild, and they can be very severe.
Hmm. We have no reason to, no knowledge at this point as to why they stopped updating their web pages at the CDC?
I have no idea. I have not and cannot seem to find a word on it.
Yeah. But there is an information block that is going on. It was being updated. Could there be skepticism in wanting to keep the American people, they call it vaccine hesitancy, when they saw these numbers and the deaths rising like they were, that they don't want these numbers to be known?
Well, I think that that's possible. I think they maybe don't want to cross the 5,000 number, but they know there's other sites, so they undoubtedly know about the National Vaccine Information Center, although they might think, well, nobody else knows about this, and so you know they're not going to be able to find the data. Mm-hmm. I just want to say, too, about vaccine hesitancy, you know, that is its own little propaganda, I don't know how to say it, its own word of propaganda.
Yes.
Because, you know, most people have made a decision about vaccination, and the only reason they might be changing their mind is because it's going to be a matter of will they still be free to do what they like if they aren't vaccinated. So this is not hesitancy. This is actual outright, you know, resistance or, you know, determination. They've already known. Hesitancy is meant to convey that everybody wants it, but they're just being hesitant. But mm-hmm. that's not the case.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think that word has been carefully chosen to make the public think, you know, you'll be in with the crowd if you say yes. You know, you're just being hesitant. It's not that you actually don't like it. You're just waiting a while. Everybody's just waiting a while.
So let's talk about these promotions going on. I mean, if this is really what it's made out to be, the lifesaver of the century, then why all the enticements? I quoted at the beginning of the program, I mean, Washington State now authorizing this Joints for Jabs program. Why, if this is to be the savior of mankind, why then are we having to see the government put all these enticements and corporate businesses doing the same thing?
I know. I'm like, you know, logically it doesn't make any sense. And so what does this mean at the bureaucratic and business level? But mostly at the bureaucracy, because for the most part, it's the bureaucracy that is offering these, which means our taxpayer dollars. Our taxpayer dollars are going into these incentives, are going into that $1 million lottery. That's not, you know, that's not just anybody's money, right? That's taxpayers' money. And so you have to think that they've got a reason here. And I think there could be one of several reasons. One of them is I think that they see this particular crisis as their opportunity to get rid of the public's ability to say no to vaccinations that the government says they must have. And then they might want to be able to say, well, we've got everyone vaccinated, and that's how we stopped COVID-19. And therefore, the next time this kind of thing happens, y'all have to be vaccinated, right? So they might have something to prove, you know, rather than saying, well, no, actually it stopped and only, you know, only 40% of the people ever got vaccinated fully, you know, twice, two different shots, right? Mm-hmm. And so some people just got one and they're like, I don't know if I want to take the second.
Yeah.
And so I think they're trying to, you know, have this as fodder for the future. We don't necessarily know what the future is, but I think that that's part of it.
There's an interesting quote here from Dr. Joseph Mercola from the NoQ report, and he's asking the question, Twyla, was the whole pandemic about the vaccine? It said, from all the crazy incentives and the air of desperation to get the job done, the COVID-19 pandemic appears to have been nothing but a thinly disguised campaign to get a vaccine jab into every arm. There's also a Dr. Peter McCullough, Vice Chief of Internal Medicine at Baylor University Medical Center, saying, asking this. He said, they do want a needle in every arm, but why? He said, that's the million-dollar question right here.
Well, I agree. That is the million-dollar question, although I would say that something that Dr. Michael Yeadon said that I just kind of resonate with, and I don't remember if he called it opportunistic convergence or convergent opportunism, but whatever it was, what it means is that a whole bunch of people saw this COVID-19 pandemic as an opportunity that they could, you know, take advantage of. Mm-hmm. And so if this is the government taking advantage of it to get rid of our right to say no to vaccination, you know, that's entirely possible. I mean, I still think it's, you know, I still look at the origins of COVID-19 and really wonder about that Wuhan lab.
Yeah.
You know, I think all things point to that, whether the government released it or not, you know, I don't know. But I don't think it was all about that.
Dr. McCullough, from Baylor also, and just one other quote here, believes that it's a global goal to mark people to get you to into their vaccine database, which will eventually be turned into a tool for population control, courtesy of vaccine passports. You know, it's an interesting statement that he makes, but we do know Bill Gates has been all about population control and has been all about vaccinations. Now, if vaccinations are to preserve life, that's not going to bring about population control, but somehow there's some aspect of population control to the type of vaccines that Bill Gates supports.
There's no end to the ways that they are trying to get all of us to be digitally identified and tracked. And the move to digital currency, which could control what our money is worth and where we could use it. I mean, there's no doubt about that. The what is that called? The Economic World Forum, who wants us all, you know, in getting a universal income and nobody owns anything, mm-hmm. right? And so, Real ID is a national ID card, and they're moving to digital driver's licenses, which everybody should say no to. You should refuse the Real ID card, refuse the Star card, because once they get that, enough people doing that, then they will move everything. You won't be able to get into a hotel. You won't be able to buy a gun without the Real ID card, which is a
But you'll be able to vote as many times as you
exactly
want.
Right. And so the vaccination passport can be just another mechanism to move towards that digital ID, that digital control. And so, you know, we have to say no. I'm really thankful for the governors that have said no to the passports, although I wish some of them would have gone a little further and said, yeah, you businesses, you can't do it either. Yeah. You know, you don't let them discriminate against people. And now this idea of discriminating according to your vaccination status for a disease that 99.9% of the people who are, you know, under the age of 70 recover from. You know, this is tyranny, and some governors have really recognized it and said it, put a kibosh on it at every level. That's what really needs to happen.
Now, Governor DeSantis has seemed to take it to that step down in Florida, and we have the cruise lines that said, no, you have to have this COVID shot, and the governor is saying, this would be in opposition to the law, and it looks like, at least in one story I read, some of the cruise lines are beginning to reverse course on this. This is WND.com, June 7th, that they're starting to back down because of the threat of fines coming from the state of Florida.
Yep, because DeSantis said $5,000 per occurrence, I believe.
Yes.
And so, you know, however many thousands of people they have on those ships, they have to think twice if he's not going to back down, and he's not going to back down. And, you know, and we can be grateful for DeSantis, Governor DeSantis, and Governor Kristi Noem. Those, you know, between the two of them in particular, there's others who have, you know, come on a little bit later. But between the two of them, you know, standing out as examples of freedom. If we didn't have any governors, if we didn't have, you know, the 10th Amendment giving the states rights over the federal government, if we didn't have that, you know, we would all be doing whatever Fauci said. We'd all be stuck because we'd have no examples. But the federal government hasn't been able to do what the federal government wanted to do because Kristi Noem said no. She was the first one who really said, yeah, no.
Yes.
And then DeSantis coming up and saying, yeah, nope, we're not going to do that. All your masks are gone. I mean, some of them were a little late. DeSantis wasn't he wasn't as early as Kristi Noem, but he was more vocal. When it came time to when he made decisions and started to pull everything down, he became more vocal and really, you know, started to lead the entire country towards that's what we want. Let's do Florida.
Twyla Bray is with us here today from the Citizens Council for Health Freedom. The website cchfreedom.org, cchfreedom.org. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back to this topic of early treatment. Stay with us. You're listening to Crosstalk.
How is your marriage relationship? Do you have a spirit-filled marriage? Is your marriage one in which the lost world can look in and see Christ represented? Many of us know that we are called to have such a marriage, but fail to make it happen, perhaps due to lack of knowledge on the topic. In the booklet, What Does a Spirit-Filled Marriage Look Like?, biblical counselor Susan Heck draws principles from the book of Ephesians. She presents 13 doctrines that guide a marriage that will bring glory to God. You'll learn about humility, forgiveness, generosity, unity, and much more. You'll also learn not only to know these principles, but how to grow them in your marriage relationship. VCY is offering one copy of this booklet for a donation of $6, 5 copies for a donation of $24, or 10 copies for $42. Just call 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Twyla Bray is our guest here today. We're discussing the COVID shot, the Fauci emails, the information block that is going on, and we're going to be talking about early treatment as well here, Twyla, because everything today, everything you read about, I mean, I can't even tell you the last public service announcement I had about washing hands and you know, clean hygiene, you know, proper hygiene and so forth. But we are, it's just the whole matter of getting the jab is front and center everywhere. But nobody is even talking about treatment as it relates to, you know, if you start getting symptoms, then do X, Y, Z. Nothing along those lines. What's happening? Comment on this, if you would.
Yes, well, that's a great question. I was just listening to some physicians who have been treating COVID-19 patients, and along with all the links to where you could get early treatment, I put 3 of those links up on our website. And so early treatment is, people are still getting COVID-19. So they're getting it in mild, they're getting it in moderate, they're getting it in severe. And it's like they've all been forgotten. It's like, you know, the vaccine is the ticket here. But even people who are vaccinated are dying from COVID-19. And so, partially because they're not going in soon enough. And one of the doctors said the variants make the disease less violent, which tends to make the patient think that they should stay home, self-treat, self-medicate, and that's dangerous. And he said, he's a physician in India, came up with his own protocol, which was fascinating, Dr. DeMello, and he said, you know, delay is leading to death. And so he likes to see the patients within the first 1 to 4 days, and he can do pretty well with them in the 5 to 8 days. But when they come, in the 5 to 7 days, but when they come at the end of the 7th day or into the 8th day, he said, I know I've got trouble. Because, and I put a picture there on the website, cchfreedom.org, right on the homepage, there's a link, and it shows the first thing that happens is the replication of the virus. And that is where you need to stop it, because if you do not stop the replication of the virus, you set up within the body all of this inflammation. And this is, as he said, this is not a lung disease. This is an inflammation, an inflammatory and blood clotting disease. And so you don't want that to happen. And your body starts to respond to this virus, this rapid replication. The virus replicates every 10 hours. It replicates. It doubles every 10 hours. And so it causes this amazing inflammation in the body. The body reacts in the next stage. So after you get to the replication, the next stage is a cytokine storm. And that's where the body starts to send this overabundance of platelets and other things, these T-cells and white blood cells and everything, and it's too much. It's too much. It's like a flood. He called it a tsunami. And so you don't ever want to get there. And if you miss it there, then you get to the microthrombi, which are these microclots all throughout your body. And the platelets are just coming in like a storm. And he said, you got clotting, it's coming so fast you don't even know what to do with it. And so he starts out patients right from the very beginning. He starts them out with ivermectin, which he said kills about 98.9% of the virus. Boom, just like that. Just kills it. Mm. And then he's got Plavix. He starts them right away to stop the clotting. And there's one more inflammatory piece that drug that he has. And with this regimen, he's treated 6,000 patients only 35 have been hospitalized and 14 have died. And all of those that have died have had diabetes, and those that have been hospitalized have mostly had diabetes. He's, you know, he said in the interview with this Dr. Mobeen in California, who's got this one, this just like wonderful lecture series. He's amazing to listen to him interview these physicians. But he said he made a mistake with a 35-year-old woman. Rather than treating her outpatient, which is what he's done mostly, he sent her to the hospital. And he said they didn't stop the clots, and she was dead within a day and a half.
My.
So, you know, early treatment, I just, you know, there's so many doctors that are telling their patients, you know, yeah, you've got COVID, you know, or you've got the symptoms of COVID, go home, well, let's see how it goes. And he's like, you know, no delay. He's got a mantra, and it says, treat first, test later. He said he just looks at the symptoms. You know, whether it's the fever that you got or you know, whatever it is, he doesn't wait for the test.
Yeah.
He starts the treatment and then get the test.
Twyla, there are those who hear what you say, but they say, well, how do I get this ivermectin? You know, we heard the doctor from St. Luke's here in Milwaukee go and testify before a Senate committee, just say, please examine this. I mean, he pled early on in this whole dealing with COVID-19. Look at this. This is preventable. We don't need to have all these deaths. You know, look at the properties of ivermectin that is being sold. But we've heard that. We've heard about hydroxychloroquine. But people, how do I get these things?
Yes. Well, cchfreedom.org. And the very first link under our Health Freedom Minutes says do not delay early COVID-19 treatment. And there's an entire list. And including Speak with an MD and Dr. Zelenko and, oh, I'm missing one here. I forgot to put it on before I had them posted. And that is COVID-19criticalcare.com, COVID-19criticalcare.com. So there's a list of doctors both at speakwithanmd.com and criticalcare.com. There's another doctor who is part of the videos, Dr. Saeed Haider. He started his own website so that people could contact him. There are all of, you need to go outside of wherever you are. A lot of people are going to these doctors now and getting ivermectin just in case they get COVID. So they have it right at hand. There's no delay. Speak with an MD uses a national pharmacy, but it will take a few days to get to you. So, you know, no harm, you know, going and getting it now, talking with one of these doctors. It's like a $90 consult. Well worth the money. Well worth the money to have ivermectin at hand.
Yeah. Well, folks, our phone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829 for your questions today or brief comments, 800-733-9829. Twyla, I saw an article also at townhall.com pointing to a new study published by MedRxiv shows hydroxychloroquine combined with zinc increased the survival rate of severely ill Wuhan coronavirus patients by 200%. That's amazing.
So it is what has been happening in this country, and it's very interesting. This Dr. DeMello, who practices in Bombay, India, he said, you know, here in India, he's saying, well, I have ready access, free access to all the medications. He goes, but, you know, in America, that's not the case. And he goes, I'm not going to talk about why that is, but, you know, it's just very difficult to get medications in America. And so this, you know, here we are, supposedly the land of the free and the brave, right?
Yep.
But we can't get it. We can't get things. And this is a crime. This is really a crime against humanity within our country.
Barry is calling from Tennessee. Barry, you're on the air.
Yes. She said something twice that just jumped right out at me. She said, this is in preparation for future vaccines that the public will not be able to say no to it. Now, this is, I believe that this is just in preparation for the Antichrist Mark of the Beast thing. I believe all this is, I don't think people really realize how close we are to the end times. And just the deadness of a lot of churches and just the way the direction they're going just is truth enough that we are not we're in perilous times.
Thank you, Barry.
But what she said, it just jumped right out at me about what you said about not being able to resist future vaccines or future anything like that.
Thank you, Barry. And I mean, that was a quote from one of the doctors I read from the issue here too, Twyla, is this aspect of control. We are the government. We can mandate anything we want to, and you will accept it.
Right. And we must rise against that. We must rise. And that's why, you know, these lawsuits against the vaccine mandates, there's one at a Houston hospital, 117 practitioners there who have said, yeah, no, we're not going to take the vaccine. You can't force us to take the vaccine. The ICANN, the Informed Consent Action Network, has put out, I think it was maybe a tweet or something, maybe Facebook, saying that they're working with a New York law firm, I think, to do lawsuits or to send legal letters, you know, to employers or schools, and so they want you to contact them because they're orchestrating this, and it looks like they have some funding for this. So if you are in a position where you're being forced, you know, check out that as a resource, because we must rise. We must rise against the vaccine mandate and the vaccine passport. This proof of a vaccination is the coercive tool for the vaccine, right? Because if you have to show proof, that's what's going to make you get the vaccine, even if they don't have a vaccine mandate. The mandate for proof a vaccination will end up to be that vaccination mandate.
Let's get over. We've got a listener, sideways. A listener caller from New Zealand right now. Good afternoon, Joshua. You're on the air.
Oh, New Zealand. Hello, Jim. Twyla Brace. I do have a question for you. I read often in the New Zealand media of a phenomenon known as long COVID, in which those who recovered from COVID-19 are still suffering with long-term effects for months or even years after getting the virus, such things as headaches, muscle pains, coughing, chest pains, heart problems, fever, problems with taste and smell, and it comes up quite a bit in the New Zealand media and even in the liberal American media. So I'm asking, because those who believe in long COVID and tell us about it, tell us that roughly 10% of those who are unfortunate enough to come ill with COVID-19 will also get long COVID. So I'm actually asking if this phenomenon is true and whether or not it even exists, and if it does, how bad is it? Because this is one of the chief tools of propaganda used in order to convince New Zealanders that the disease is so horrible, it is so easy to be spread, there is no cure, the only hope of salvation from it is being vaccinated. Using debunked false arguments to bolster the claims. Could you please tell me how accurate this phenomenon is and what the truth is about it, please?
Thank you, Joshua. And Twyla, we're just a minute before the break. Go ahead.
Okay, so really quickly, if you go to that page where I have put all that those lists of options for getting treatment, at the bottom are the videos, and you need to watch Dr. Daryl DeMello's video. And he talks about how he protects people from long COVID. And long COVID is because you've not done what needed to be done. All those medications that he used at the beginning, he said, you know, it comes from the clots. So the clots and the congestion that happens in the lungs from the cytokine storm. If you can prevent the cytokine storm and those microthrombi, those microclots, you can prevent long COVID. So he actually looks at patients about 30 days after the whole thing and to figure out what's the condition of their lungs. And then he has a process by which he starts to clear the clots out of the lungs. And he said, if you don't do it soon, if you like try to do that 8, 9, 10 months later, he goes, I can't clear those clots. That's not possible, and you will have long haul COVID.
Wow.
So, you know, take a look at that and see what he says. I think you'll find it fascinating.
So will the shot prevent that?
Well, the shot doesn't prevent you from getting COVID. It could reduce your symptoms, and so then it could prevent it if it's reducing your symptoms.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back to more of your phone calls. Twyla Brace, the website cchfreedom.org, and on that front page, you'll see a big headline, Don't Delay Early COVID-19 Treatment. Back in a minute.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Recently, I had a group of doctors in my television studio And then the next day, I filmed 4 one-hour town halls with them. It was moderated by Michelle Malkin. These are medical doctors. One of them, a neurologist. She studies the brain. She went into great detail as to the reactions that she's seeing from her patients in a very short period of time. Brain bleeds, blood clots, after receiving the COVID-19 vaccine. She also spoke of some of her patients that have Alzheimer's or dementia, who greatly accelerated in a negative manner after the shot. She also explained people getting the shot and being told in advance it's FDA approved. It is not. My friends, when I spent 2 days with these medical doctors who wouldn't take the shot, I was terrified at what I'm hearing. The problem is they're being censored. Do your due diligence.
The COVID shot, Fauci emails, and information block. Our topic today with Twyla Brays, president and co-founder of Citizens Council for Health Freedom. Going right back to the phone lines, the state of South Dakota. Kevin, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you, Twyla. I've just tuned into your program here, just kind of caught the tail end of what you're talking about here. So being from South Dakota, I am so grateful for our governor, as I heard you speak of Kristi Noem earlier. It's interesting, as we look from the South Dakota side out here in rural America, it is all about control, as this whole thing is. I've seen people riding a bicycle out by themselves miles from anywhere with a mask on, mowing a lawn with a mask on. You know, we're fighting the faithful that are obedient to being told. But what I don't understand here, and I've said this before, you know, he who controls the information controls the outcome. What do we got to do, Twyla? And I'm just taking down your website here. How come, I mean, I understand we're being stifled to the news media, but how come this isn't being screamed through the roof, screamed from the rooftops? And why I see as we're going as a nation and a people, why aren't we able to make a difference here? I mean, we are from the ground roots, but this is crazy. I mean, as America and Americans.
Thank you, Kevin. We got your main question here. Time's limited. So, Twyla, please go ahead.
Well, I was going to say I wasn't sure what he meant about screaming from the head, from the mountaintops or wherever he said, because I think that I'll just say that the major media isn't interested in our perspective. They're not interested in early treatment. They're not interested in where the origins of COVID came. They're not interested in anything except the vaccine. They have the biggest mouthpiece that there is, and of course, social media has the other one, and they're not interested in it either. And so it does become hard for the truth-telling side here to get the message out.
Thank you, Kevin. Ida in Sun Lakes, Arizona, you're on the air.
Yes, I just wanted to say that my doctor, my primary care doctor, she does missionary work as well. She said in India, her friend told her ivermectin is only $2. In the United States, it starts at $75.
Hmm.
I mean, isn't that something?
Well, the reason it's only $2 is, I mean, they have a half and half, a semi-socialized healthcare system. But, you know, it's whatever it will be purchased for is what it is sold for. You know, if India is only going to spend X amount and, the companies are going to allow that to happen. And so, but really, even $75 here, you know, to save your life is a small price.
Thank you, Ida.
You're welcome.
Jim in Kentucky, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Oh, yes. Bless you all for the topic today. I'm a healthcare worker, and I just, as an unofficial study, I kind of talk to the patients that I deal with. They're mostly autoimmune patients, and I get an overall their symptoms. Some who had COVID and got the injections and had very bad adverse reactions as a result of it, and then some who ended up getting COVID as a result of it. It's the push, I guess, is where I'm getting at, is that, you know, the eyes of the people need to be open, because it's almost like a psychological experiment. They're using fear to try to get you to take it. They're using, your freedom. Mm-hmm. You can't do this, you can't do that if you don't take the vaccine. And now they're using the reward system. It's just like a psychological experiment that they're trying to push us on.
And Jim, are you a medical doctor?
No, I'm not a physician. I'm an assistant.
assistant. Okay.
Autoimmune.
Very good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Pleasure. Appreciate the call here, and he's calling it like an experiment, Twyla.
Yes, and some people have called it the greatest PSYOP ever, you know, performed across the globe. And so, you know, we're going to know things in 3 to 5 or even 2 years from now that we don't know today, but we know what he's saying is true. You know, that was a lovely combination of the three different maneuvers to get this vaccine out and into people's arms. That, you know, he said it really well.
Brad in West Dallas, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hey, Brother Jim. The other day I heard a story about that pharmacist who destroyed some COVID vaccines because he figured they're dangerous.
Right, Grafton, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm.
And in the story it said that's not up to pharmacists to make that decision. Hmm. I'm yelling at the radio, no, but he didn't have a problem with them making that decision when they refused to fill hydroxychloroquine prescriptions if it was for COVID.
Yeah.
Very hypocritical. Now, I just have a quick question. I already know that the hydroxychloroquine doesn't destroy the virus. It lets the zinc in, and the zinc destroys it. That drug that you mentioned before, your guest mentioned before, that was $90 to have on hand in case you get COVID?
Or ivermectin?
That's it, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Does that drug operate alone, or does it need something else to let it through the cell membrane like zinc does?
Thank you, Brad.
So according to Dr. DeMello last night, who I was listening to, he would say that he gives a regimen of 2 times a day for 2 days, so a total of 4 doses, and he gives it on an empty stomach for 2 hours that you can't have food. But I believe it acts all by itself. He said, you know, in the popular press or wherever, they will call it the virus killer or the COVID killer or whatever. I can't remember exact words, but the idea was that 98.9% or whatever is how much of it destroys. And he said, and then once it destroys it, it lets the body destroy the original COVID virus. See, because, of course, the original COVID virus came in, and then it started replicating. And so the ivermectin kills almost all of it, and then the original COVID virus is what the body can handle, getting rid of a small amount that's left.
Hmm. Thank you, Brad.
Thank you.
Fred in Milwaukee, you're on the air.
Yes, my pastor, he turned 82 recently, and he, after that, had taken one of the shots, not sure which one it was, but right after that, in a day or so, he had a brain bleed stroke, and his wife gave him 4 chewable aspirins, and they put him in the hospital within the hour afterward, and he recovered in 2 days. But I'm wondering if that could have been the reason he had the stroke, because he hadn't had a stroke before.
Okay, thank you, Fred. Twyla, we've only got 30 seconds left in the program. Go ahead and take it.
Yes, it's entirely possible. Certainly the J&J vaccine has caused blood clots, but I think it might be AstraZeneca or another one where there have been bleeds. I just can't remember which one it is, but it certainly could be part of the problem.
Twyla Bray's with us, cchfreedom.org, cchfreedom.org. Check out the website. And friends, get a copy of this program. Share the link with others or get a hard copy of CD that you can share what you have learned with others. Twyla, thank you for being with us.
Thanks so much, Jim.
And friends, thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.